The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. I mean, what a game! What are these playoffs? NBA playoffs are amazing usually, but you know what's going to happen when the playoffs start. You know who's going to win. You did not know that this year because of injury, because of the condensed schedule and the lack of a longer offseason. There were a lot of injuries, and you don't ever wish for things to be decided by injury, and you hate to see it, but the fact is it injected randomness into the playoffs. And it's been an unpredictable postseason. Last night's game. All right. By the way, and Tom Brady said something. I really didn't get into it yesterday. We're going to get into it a little bit later in the show. He said, "You're going to keep that expletive?" Which quarterback was he talking about? We're going to get into it later in the show. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The Suns are up 2-0. But let me tell you something. They've been playing at home. They've been playing in front of a raucous crowd. They have been getting stellar performances by, bench players or players who've had to step up, like Cameron Payne. They have a real, like, their forwards, both Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, not to mention Jay Crowder. They're really good players. It's one of the reasons I like them so much in the preseason. By the way, Raj, I want you to find, we need to find the clips of me talking about how good the Suns were going to be this year, because all I ever hear from Molly on set is, "You weren't talking about the Suns preseason. You have to listen to the radio show, Molly." At any rate, on the set of First Take, giving me the business. Anyway, so all those, and DeAndre Ayton stepped up huge last night. But this Suns team is taken down to the last possession, essentially, in consecutive games by a Clippers team without Kawhi Leonard. Series ain't over if Kawhi comes back. But is he even going to come back? Now, there is so much to get into in this game. This entire segment. We didn't book any guests, nothing. I'm going through this game, this segment, because there's so much to get into. Starting with, did Pandemic Paul return? Paul George really has been playing very well. Not super efficiently. Still not up to his normal standards in terms of his efficiency. But he's been playing better than he had in the past. He has been playing at an all-star level. He's usually all-star plus, but he's been playing at an all-star level instead of just like maybe a starter, an above-average starter. And he's been playing well enough as the best player on his team that he's kept them in the game twice on the road. And he hit a clutch shot. He and Devin Booker were going back and forth trading clutch shots, but with the game on the line, he missed both free throws. And tell me I'm lying when I say, you thought he might do that, didn't you? Look, he feels that pressure in the big moment. He turns into a lesser version of himself. Here's Paul George at the post-game press conference talking about those two missed free throws, which left the door open for the Suns.
That put me in position to extend the lead. I'm always confident at the free throw line. I've always been very successful in clutch moments at the free throw line. Tonight, I was just unsuccessful.
Look, I'm not blaming the loss on Paul George. It was not his fault. He missed two free throws. It was a choke. But he also played well enough as the best player on his team to keep his team in the game against a team that was really, they have, I'm going to get to this in a second. But it's a better team, the Suns. If you take Kawhi off and Chris Paul off both, like the two leaders of the teams, the Suns maybe, at least they have more all-star caliber players than the Clippers. And Paul George played well enough to keep his team in the game. I'm not blaming him. If you blame Paul George for missing those free throws, I want you to blame Kevin Durant for airballing the three. I don't hold it against Kevin Durant that he couldn't by himself beat the Bucks. No Kyrie, basically no Harden. I'm not going to hold that against KD. He played amazingly well. And I'm not going to say this game was this because Paul George missed those free throws that they lost the game. That left the door open. It's not the reason they lost the game.
He played well enough to keep him in it. And that was straight talk. Wireless. No contract. No compromise. But there's so much to get into. How did it even get there? By the way, the final play of that game, we're talking about, like, okay, let me just go through what we need to go over here. There's the Paul George missed free throws. I just talked about them. There's the final play of the game, the alley-oop to Jay Crowder inbounding the ball to DeAndre Ayton, right? Where was Boogie Cousins defensively on that play? Jeff Van Gundy calling the shot. Van Gundy's on TV, on the ESPN broadcast saying, what you need to do here is inbound directly alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton. That's exactly what they did, and it worked. And it was a great play by Ayton and an even better pass by Jay Crowder. Did you see the angle of the backboard for Jay Crowder to thread the needle? It's like even just throwing like a crumpled up piece of paper into a waste paper basket when you have to kind of go around a wall is hard, right? He had to do that in the playoffs at an angle where you really have to thread the needle. That was a beautiful, it was a perfect pass. Maybe Boogie Cousins was not where he was supposed to be, but and nevertheless, great pass by Jay Crowder. Great call by Monty Williams. Great pass by Jay Crowder. Great finish on the play by DeAndre Ayton. The only reason they could draw up a play like that is because of these replays. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But like, there's so much here. It's like there's like a doorway here, and I'm trying to get everything through at the same time. There's so much to get into. So that was an amazing play by Monty Williams, although amazing. Jeff Van Gundy called it. So how brilliant is it? It's something that a coach sees, right? By the pass by Crowder, the finish by Ayton. What I came away with after this game, the headline to me, more than anything else, was not Paul George missing the free throws, was not Monty Williams drawing up a play, or that final play, or Devin Booker getting hot late when they needed it. What I came away with is DeAndre Ayton has arrived. This is now every single series of these playoffs. He was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, and he hasn't busted. If you're the number one overall pick and no one can call you a bust, you're a hell of a player. That established that right away. No one can call DeAndre Ayton a bust. And he was picked number one overall in a loaded draft. I'm not saying if they redid the draft, he'd go number one over Luka. Or maybe not Trey. Although, it's a question. Trey or him, who would go first at this point? I don't know, because DeAndre Ayton keeps getting better. And he's a big. But, okay, I'm not saying he'd go one again if you did. But he did not bust in that. You know, he's a hell of a player. But he was already ascending and above average. We already knew he was good. We knew Chris Paul would have a good effect on him. At least we thought. But what has happened in these playoffs, in his matchup against a hobbled AD and MVP Jokic, and now finally in the Western Conference Finals, where he was keeping them in the game with his rebounding and his finishing at the rim. He's keeping his team in the game. Devin Booker wasn't playing well early. No Chris Paul. DeAndre was keeping his team in the game. First, I want you to hear from DeAndre Ayton, and then I'm going to tell you the big takeaway from this game. Here's DeAndre Ayton at the post-game press conference.
Well, I'll start off by saying that's definitely Jay's game winner, you know, making a great pass or a seven-footer. Other than that, you know, Coach drew up a great play where, you know, I was in the best position. You know, my teammates trust me and my coaches trust me. And, you know, great books and a great screen, you know, that freed me up into the lane to at least gather my feet and go for the ball. And the rest is, you know, just off my athleticism and my talent. Jay set it up right there perfectly.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton has a winning personality on top of everything else. But the big takeaway from this game, are you listening, nerds? The big takeaway is the Suns have a big three. DeAndre Ayton, when you think about who's likely to make an all-star team next year, he's going to be on everyone's radar as an all-star next year. And it's not like he's the kind of guy who's going to make an all-star team or two. He looks like he's going to be a perennial all-star. So what does that mean? Because Chris Paul's a perennial all-star and a kind of bubble MVP candidate some years. Devin Booker is turning into a superstar. He's normally a 25-point-a-game scorer, and when you need him most, he shines brightest.
That's the big three. When people talk about the Bucks, for example, Giannis, superstar. He's a big. Middleton, bubble-type all-star. Sometimes, he's been an all-star, I think, twice in his career. Jrue Holiday, above-average starter. Maybe he's made one all-star team, right? That's not a big three. That's a big one and two nice supporting pieces. That's not a big three. Maybe Middleton, Middleton could be considered the third wheel in a big three. You need two guys better than him. But the Bucks don't have a big three. Get out of here with that. The Clippers, you know, Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And Kawhi's hurt right now. Who knows if he's coming back? We need to get an update on his knee. Who's the other? Terrence Mann's a nice, young, improving player like Morris, Rondo, playoff Rondo, right? Reggie Jackson. But who's the third all-star? Maybe Rondo, although he's only getting 20 minutes a game now, right? Maybe a couple years ago you could say Rondo's like an all-star in the playoffs, but not at 20 minutes a game. So that's not a big three. Atlanta, same thing. There's no big three in Atlanta. You got one all-star and some very nice pieces around them. The Suns have a legit big three. Legit. DeAndre Ayton has arrived. They have it because Ayton has arrived. You know what that means? That means, oh, we're missing our leader and one of the best point guards ever, Chris Paul. Well, you could still hang in there. They got a little bit lucky to win both games at home. But you can still hang in to get lucky because you have two all-star caliber players on the floor. Oh, the Suns have arrived. So will CP3 or Kawhi return for game three? That's the question, right? It looks like CP3 is going to be back. By the way, I understand why for HIPAA rights reasons, right? People don't want to divulge every medical fact in their background. It's private. But during a pandemic, getting a vaccination is not that's a personal privacy. What nonsense. People just say, like, utter nonsense, and people nod, say, oh, yes, that makes a lot. No, it doesn't. In fact, it's a stupid comment. If you hear that, well, it's a personal thing, that's a stupid comment. Stupid. Of course, if you're in a pandemic, they found a vaccine. Of course you take it. What do you mean? Measles, mumps, and rubella. I guess some people really do have those people are very susceptible to low quality information. But for Chris Paul to be like, well, take the vaccine and you're okay. At any rate, I guess he's going to have two negative PCR tests consecutively within 24 hours, whatever it is, because apparently, what I'm hearing, he's coming back. The Suns get Chris Paul, and Kawhi doesn't come back for Game 3. This series is over. If Kawhi comes back for Game 3, if you can barely beat the Clippers when they don't have Kawhi, and you're at home in consecutive games, and you had to kind of get a little lucky. Paul George had to miss both free throws. Monty Williams had got extra time because of all the replays. I'm going to get to that in a second. And you barely win by the skin of your teeth. Two games on a neutral site, it seems to me, Clippers will beat you. Certainly at home, they have a very good chance to win. So if they get Kawhi back, even if Chris Paul does come back for the Suns, the Clippers can win both games at home. And then it's not they need to win 4 out of 5. Then it's just best of three. And eventually, of course, the road team's going to have to win a game on the road. Right, the lower-seeded team. You're going to have to do it if you're the Clippers. But they're capable of doing it. You know, Ty Lue has come back multiple times in this postseason, these playoffs, down 0-2. And he was the coach of the greatest comeback in the history of the NBA, down 3-1. LeBron James and the Cavs came all the way back on the 73-win Warriors. That was a Ty Lue team. He is a great in-series adjuster and leader of basketball teams. And with Kawhi, if he comes back, they're still not out of it. But if Kawhi's not playing Game 3, I don't see how the Clippers win this series. Okay, now I said I'm going to get to the instant replay and how the use of it is just killing the end of that game. Like, let me start by saying, I don't think, like, everyone was complaining on social media, on the broadcast, you know, fans, everything, were complaining about instant replay when Patrick Beverley poked the ball out and instant replay, oh, actually,
Devin Booker's hand was last on the ball. And everyone's like, yeah, but that's not the, even Van Gundy on the broadcast, that's not the intention of the rule, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. I get all that. That's not the intention of the rule. And normally you'll call it out on the guy who poked it out. However, sometimes if you have a good view of it and you're like, yes, he poked it out, but very clearly the last guy to touch the ball was the guy out of whose hands it got poked, right? It doesn't matter that the other guy initiated the fact that it's going out. If the offensive player has his hand on the ball very clearly last and the cameras catch it, it's out on him. Those are the rules. I know it's not usually called that way, but not every time a guy pokes a ball out is the offensive player's hand on the ball last. It was in this case. I didn't have a problem with that. And the use of instant replay, if you're going to get the call right, okay. But it takes 5-10 seconds. I'm sitting at home in my living room. It's like the NFL. If I can tell on my couch within 10 seconds with a 90% certainty what the call is, what the hell is taking the officials 3 minutes? There was an extra half hour to play the end of that game. And not only did it interfere with the rhythm, the flow of the game, but it actually gave, like Monty Williams in the moment of truth, extra time to design a play. It's like a timeout. Jay Williams on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin here in the mornings on ESPN on the NBA reviews and whether or not it should be changed.
What I hate and a rule that we need to find a way to change is if there is a review and you have no timeouts left, yo, your team can't huddle.
You said that, but Allen said that it basically allowed Monte Williams to do whatever he needed to do. Yes. And I said to myself sitting here, I swear to you right now, I said the first thing they need to do, and you said if you don't have any timeouts, but the first thing they need to do is tell the coaches and the players, you can't go over there.
You got to stay on the court.
You got to stay on the court.
I think that's good. I think that's right what they're saying. But it's really a twofold question. Number one, do you even use instant replay at the end of games like that? And how often can you use it, right? That's one. Well, I guess that's two. And then another part of the question is, how do you use it? In other words, do you watch it 1,000 times, like the idea being, since we're going to instant replay, we might as well be 100% or as close to 100% sure as possible? I don't think so. I don't think, oh, we're stopping the game, so we might as well use 5 minutes to get it exactly right. I think, you know, look, you see one angle, you say, oh, that's right, it's off that guy. Then you see another angle, you go, huh, no, from that angle, it looks off that guy. Is there another angle? Yes, there is. Oh, let me look at that again. Oh, okay, nope, I'm making a call. I'm making a call. Are you 100% sure? No, but you know what? With the naked eye, it was a 50-50 call. Now that I've seen these three angles for a total of 10 to 15 seconds, I think I'm 90% sure now. I'm 75. I have more information than when I was 50-50. That's all you need. It doesn't have to be perfect. The perfect is the enemy of the good. So it's really three. Number one, do you use instant replay at the end of games like this? Number two, how often do you use it? Should there be a limit? And number three, how quickly do you use it? So look, it's a heartbreaking loss for the Clippers. That much is true. And as I said, Ty Lue is the comeback kid as a coach, right? He's the dude who can keep coming back because he instills confidence in his team. He knows how to handle big egos and get role players involved and how to handle a team, how to bring them together and lead them because he understands X's and O's to the point where he can analyze what's happening and make in-game decisions based on that in-game analysis that positively affects his team. And over the course of a series, he can make adjustments because he's playing chess against the other head coach and usually outplaying him by the end of the series. Even if the beginning of the game, the other guy has an advantage, by mid-game, it doesn't look great, but ultimately, Coach Ty Lue usually makes those adjustments. So is this season over is the question. And the answer is, if Kawhi doesn't come back, obviously. If Kawhi comes back, people don't count these Clippers out. Here's Coach Ty Lue on being down 0-2.
I mean, we let one get away. You know, that's how we felt. But the confidence of his team hasn't wavered. You know, guys just said, all right, we got to go home now. And they was in good spirits. So, you know, like I said, we fought hard. We played, you know, good enough to win this game. You know, unfortunately, it happens. And we just got to move on, get ready for game 3.
All right, there's a lot of questions to be asked about this game, and I'm going to let you weigh in coming up. Number one, Suns have a big three now with DeAndre Ayton, the emergence. Yes or no? You agree or disagree? Because if they do, that's the only one left in these playoffs right now, and that suggests the Suns are going to win the whole thing. Number two, what about instant replay at the end of games? Emphasis on the instant, because they need it to be more instant. But should they even use it? Should there be a time limit? Did it ruin the game? Did it add to the game? One of the things that basketball is like, if you ever gamble in a casino, craps is the best game. It's the fastest. I once hosted a gambling show on a TV show on Spike TV called King of Vegas. It was a good show, actually. It was fun. And I assumed that craps would be the best TV game because it's constantly moving in the casino. It's the most fun to play. But in fact, poker is the best because there are breaks in the action, because there's a build up, a moment of truth, and then an analysis of what just happened. That's like football. Football's not really an action sport. There's not much action compared to the time in the game, right? There's a lot of standing around. Basketball's an action sport. It goes. But football may be considered the best TV sport because there are pauses in the action. Because you do have to wait to find out. Because there's this building up and this tension and drama and then the reveal, the moment of truth. Did the replay add to that in a way last night? Or did it just kill the game? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. By the way, Tom Brady likes to throw a little shade sometimes, but this one, who's he talking about? It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Well, now you can get your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. Let me say that in English. $55 a month. All on America's largest, most dependable network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Should that basket have counted? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I just read something Raj put on. Raj, I have no idea even what you meant by that. What basket? What are you talking about? Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Who was Tom Brady talking about on The Shop? LeBron Show on HBO. Who's he talking about? Well, you know, I wanted to get you the sound from that show, so we asked Brendan, our trusty, our technical leader, could he get the sound? But apparently Brendan needs you to predict. He's like, wait, did this occur recently? Yeah, it did. I was told before the show that I needed to be able to predict what was going to be said on The Shop so that Brendan would have enough time to clip it and play it on this show. Brendan, am I to understand we don't have the sound?
Yeah, we do not. Absolutely not.
I see.
Ridiculous request. I mean, come on.
Silly me. I'm trying to think of how we can do this now. Let me, you know what? I'm going to do a reenactment. How's that? An historical reenactment. All right? That's what we'll do. So Tom Brady's on The Shop, and he was talking about the fact that he was interested in playing for a team a couple years ago, and he was told that, no, they liked their quarterback. And he said, quote, one of the teams, well, he said this, one of the teams, I'm going to do a dramatic reenactment, guys. One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that one who makes the beast with two backs with the one that bore him? I do repent the tedious minutes I with you have spent. Yes, Tom Brady very upset that some team stayed with their quarterback. Who is he talking about? I've heard people on other networks. Colin Cowherd mentioned that he thought it was the Bears. He's been talking to people. I've not talked to anyone about this. I assumed immediately he was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners. You have to think, where's Tom Brady from? Northern California, right? Who gives him a good chance to win a Super Bowl right away? The San Francisco 49ers. They were just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, or two Super Bowls ago. Who has a quarterback that they may plausibly say, they could say, we're going to stick with him. You think the Bears were going to stick with Trubisky over Brady or Drew Locke with Denver or Carr, Derek Carr in Vegas? No, the Raiders, I don't see that. But I can see the Niners saying, you know what, we like our guy. And we almost won a Super Bowl with him. Yes, he missed an open. We designed a play, and he missed an open. Shanahan had that play design. It went well, and he missed an open receiver down the field, Emmanuel Sanders. But, you know, that's like Garoppolo next time. What's he going to miss that every time? He'll hit it the next time. We were one throw away from beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I could see that, and then that would really rankle Brady because this dude, Garoppolo, was the same guy they wanted to replace him with in New England. So maybe it could have been the Rams, right, where you're sticking with Goff. You don't want me in L.A., but something like if you ask me what my best guess is, I think he's talking about Garoppolo and the Niners. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Brian in California. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, brother. Got up on your last point. I was thinking Raiders. I really was. I was thinking Raiders, NorCal, all that good stuff. But back to the original problem of the call was Mr. Paul George over the Clippers. And I usually use things like a fight like you because I'm boxed. Do you think that if Paul George was in the ring with another opponent, would the other opponent think that he was hurt by the way he plays? Because I don't see any enthusiasm with the man. I don't see any urgency, and I don't feel like he really starving.
Well, I don't know. I don't see a lack of hunger in Paul George. I don't think that's the issue. I think Paul George, in some way, Teddy Atlas talks about this in boxing, and I believe in this. If the guy doesn't feel like he deserves it, tough to beat the opponent. You know, like Floyd Mayweather always felt like he deserves it. Like he's put in more work, like he's more talented, like he's prepared, and he deserves to win, right? Not everyone feels that way. I think guys on the free throw line late in games, on some level, they have to feel like, I deserve this. You know, I once saw, I'm trying to remember which trainer it was, who had worked with Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Was it Brooks? I'm forgetting who it was. But he, Bloodworth? I'm forgetting. But he looked at himself, he said, you know the difference between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield? He said, Evander Holyfield, and he kissed both his biceps. Mwah, mwah, loves himself. And Mike hates himself. I don't know if Mike hates himself anymore, but I think he'd acknowledge at the time he did. Right? You have someone who loves himself fighting someone who hates himself. The guy who hates himself doesn't have a chance. In the moment of truth, he's going to get exposed. He doesn't feel like he deserves it. In a weird way, you need to feel like you have the moral high ground. And the free throw line is like a truth-telling machine that way, at least in terms of how you're feeling about yourself. I believe that. It sounds stupid. I believe that. And there's something in Paul George in some deep way. He doesn't believe in himself. He's an excellent player. But he's not an ace. He's a deuce. I think he's played well enough to be the second best player on a championship team this year in these playoffs. But in the moment of truth, he did not come through. I'll just point out, in the moment of truth, neither did Kevin Durant. I know he played 53 minutes. I know he carried his whole team. He was exhausted. I get it. There were 3 seconds left on the clock when the shot left Kevin Durant's hands. The series was on the line. You were down 2. You could have gotten a better shot to tie it up. You opted to go for a 3 to win it. It's a make or miss league. You're either a hero or a goat. He not only missed it, he airballed it. But I'm not going to say KD's the reason they lost. It's ridiculous. KD's the reason they had a chance to win. But he didn't hit that shot. If it was LeBron, we'd be killing him. So Paul George is not the reason they lost that game. If he were more clutch, they would have won it. But he's not the reason they lost. He's one of the reasons they had a chance to win. James in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How's it going, my friend?
Go ahead, James.
So a couple thoughts here. Number one, yeah, I think the rule change should be 45 seconds total because, right, 3 views, 10, 15 seconds each, that's plenty of time to get to your 85, 90% threshold, which is better than they have right now. Yep. And then secondly, I think the Clippers actually are the other team besides the Suns to have a big three.
Good. Who is?
The Clippers.
Who's the third one?
Kawhi Leonard.
No, Kawhi, Paul George, and who's the third?
I'm kidding. It's, of course,
Dayton's own Luke Kennard, who can pull 20 points off the bench in any game if he gets the minutes.
Yeah, Luke Kennard has not been part of a big three in any universe. You know what? Maybe Terrence Mann one day could be a really good player. He's pretty good already. That he's not a member of a big three. Neither is Luke Kennard. A big three doesn't mean here's our third best player. Or here's a player who may one day be the third wheel on a championship team. It means right now. And I'm saying right now, DeAndre Ayton's good enough to be considered a member of a big three. Right now. I've seen him throughout these playoffs. His third year in the league, he's played very well. But this year in particular, doesn't care about his numbers. Team player. Great personality. Puts in the work. And then, in the moment of truth, matches up with AD, with Jokic, is a big problem for those guys. And is now a big problem for the Clippers. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. LeBron had three words when it came to Caruso getting locked up in Texas. The Ultimate Fighter's back. The reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract is on ESPN+. Stream new episodes every Tuesday only on ESPN+. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I know I've been over this before, Raj and Brendan, but even to this day, and we've talked about it on this show, I still know what they're saying in that chorus, electric relaxation. And I've looked it up 1,000 times, and I've learned it 1,000 times. I still couldn't tell you. Relax yourself, please. I don't forget. I forget every time. Anyone know? Quick. Rod, you remember what they were saying?
Put me up. Play, I don't remember. I just know when we look it up, it had to be a typo. I don't remember what it is, but it is not what they put on the lyrics. It's
they designed the lyric to be impossible to remember. You not only can you not hear what they're saying or understand it, you can't remember what it was, even if you learn it. Lakers Alex Caruso, arrested for maybe the reason no one can remember what the lyric says, arrested for cannabis possession in Texas. I try to stay away from the word marijuana, which was used intentionally to demonize cannabis to an Anglo-American public by making it sound Mexican and therefore bad, right, once upon a time. Because understand, there was a prohibition against alcohol and cannabis. The thing is that the prohibition against alcohol ended, and the prohibition against cannabis has only partially ended recently, which was one of the great outrages of American life, especially in sports leagues that punish people for smoking weed, when those same sports leagues are in bed with companies that peddle alcohol. And every objective study ever done, every single one ever done, comes to the same conclusion. They're roughly equivalent drugs as vices. If one is worse for you and for society, it is alcohol. That actually has worse effects on not only the individual, but societally. You know, by the way, cannabis is even a better consumer drug for sporting events. People are drinking and driving, they're crashing their cars and getting into fights and throwing up and getting hung over. People starting fights, hold on, Raj. People smoke weed, they would concentrate on the game. They'd spend more money at the concession stand, eating and drinking. If anything, it's not good to operate heavy machinery in an altered state, but they're less likely to go speeding and crash the car than if they're drinking alcohol. At any rate, that's just my rap on the sports leagues testing for weed. But Alex Caruso has actually been arrested for weed. The 27-year-old guard was arrested and released on Tuesday for possession of cannabis and drug paraphernalia, both misdemeanors, according to the Texas A&M police. Lieutenant Bobby Richardson of Texas A&M Police Department told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne that Caruso tried to board a flight at Easterwood Airport, which is on A&M property, when the TSA found an herb grinder in his bags that contained weed. Why is law enforcement even looking for this right now? Don't we have bigger problems? Not only should it have never been illegal, but it's been legalized largely. And even if it's not, you're looking for it and looking to punish people and embarrass someone. It's ridiculous, a ridiculous waste of resources to enforce a rule, laws that are barely even on the books anymore and are hypocritical and counterproductive at best. LeBron, by the way, heard about the news and had this to say.
Straight cash, homie.
He was gonna bail Caruso out with
straight cash, homie.
He's gonna bail him out with straight cash, homie. I mean, come on. This is bad. Raj, did you have something to say before?
Straight cash, homie.
Okay, that is. It's bad enough when sports leagues start like sniffing around, looking. Oh, did someone use like smoke weed? Wait a minute. But the player can do something worse for them simply because it's legal. Like, these sports leagues didn't have to be testing for weed. They could have excluded just because it's illegal. There are lots of illegal things they don't test for. Why would they include that of all things in testing? It's not a performance enhancer. If anything, it's the opposite for sports. Most times, you would imagine. At any rate. Mike in South Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, man, I'm just calling to say, hey, Beverly, with all that flopping shit, it ain't going to cut. I'm sorry, excuse me.
Mike.
But all that flopping.
Mike,
man, he the one that asked for the replay of the out of bounds that caused another extra stuff. All them tacky fouls. Man, Hawks gonna beat the Bucks in five.
I don't see the Hawks beating the Bucks. I think they can. I don't think they will, because I think the second and third best players in the series, certainly the second best player, other than the two stars, is Giannis's guy, Middleton. And because Drew Holiday, there's no great matchup on Trae Young. He's excellent, but insofar as you can get a good matchup, Drew Holiday is the guy. Drew, if you are looking to defend a small dynamic point guard in the playoffs, you can't do better than Drew Holiday. So for that reason, and the fact that Middleton is the best non-Giannis Trey player, I like the Bucks. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.